Luke in chapter 9. We're going to preach a message this morning entitled, Learn It to Live It. Learn It to Live It. And so in case you didn't notice, maybe some of you noticed, or mostly I would imagine, how many of you here ever get one of these bulletins? Does anybody get one of these? Yeah. How many here ever read it? One hand up if you get it, and the other hand if you read it. Okay. It's funny. This is a universal thing that you can have it in the bulletin and still not see it over and over. And that's just, it's not just here. It's everywhere. But the titles of the messages are up there if you want it. If some people take notes and you want that, you forget. Can you say that again? It's up there. So just give us a little idea what's going on with that. Luke chapter 9. As soon as you find your place there, if you stand together with me, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke chapter 9 and in verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor script, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Let's go, Lord, in prayer this morning. Father, I do pray that you'd help us this morning, and Lord, I pray that you'd guide us through your word. Lord, would you direct us? Would you instruct us? Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive your word, not just to be filled with knowledge, but that, Lord, it may do something in our life that causes us to live in a way that would please you. Lord, have your will and way this morning, and Lord, bless. I pray that you'd bless as well the junior church and all that's going on there this morning. Pray that you'd speak to those hearts, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So number one, it's this. You know, Jesus has been dealing with the apostles. Number one, the first point is this. It's time to put feet to your faith. Right? We've heard it said, put feet to your what? Well, before, a lot of times we heard the phrase, put feet to your prayers. You heard that? Yeah? Never heard? Well, now you've heard it. It's a common thing. You need to put feet to your prayers. In other words, you don't just pray and ask God to do something. You do it. You know, God, I'm asking God to, you know, God, would you open the door for me? Okay, you've prayed, now follow. But this, I want to say, put feet to your faith. We say we have faith. Now, when I'm saying, I think it's what the Lord is doing, is you say you believe, or we're learning to believe, now it's time to get at it, right? Time to get at it. So the Lord had been teaching them about living by faith, right? To the disciples, the apostles here. It wasn't just about having faith. They had faith. It's about living by faith, okay? And then the Lord demonstrated what living by faith looked like, right? He talked about some. Listen, faith was not only to be in word, it was to be demonstrated by works. Okay, listen to what I'm saying to you, because I don't want us to fuddle this part up. You get this mixed up. Faith is demonstrated by works. Okay, or through works, or through actions, or through decisions. Okay. So what faith then becomes demonstrated, rather to say it another way, faith is manifested, not in our declaration of our faith, right? But in our actual living by that faith that we claim to have. So in other words, faith isn't just me saying I have faith. You know, I have $1 million. I do. Trust me, I do. In my heart, I believe I have $1 million. You're like, prove it. I don't want to, right? Wouldn't that be, you know, if I said, well, I have it, I just don't want to prove it. And you'd say, well, then you're what we would call a liar, right? And so if I say I have something but don't, then demonstrate it, it probably means that I don't really have it. By the way, money is, it's really kind of a poor illustration, but I want us to get this thought. I want to get this thought as the manifestation of it. The faith works as the manifestation of what I believe. So if I believe what God said, then I'm going to do something about it. Right? It's not complicated. It's pretty simple in this sense. It's simple in theory, right? So this manifestation of faith is the works that the living it out, in other words. So think about it this way. You don't do faith. Well, go do some faith. What are you doing? I'm doing faith. Faith isn't really an action at all, is it? How do you do faith? Faith is what we believe. It's a belief. It's an understanding. It's an acknowledgement, and it's a believing. That's what the Bible talks about so much. Jesus talks about believe in the Lord thy God with all thine heart, right? And so this is more than faith. So faith isn't what we do. Faith is what we believe, but faith does determine how we will live. Let me say that another way. Faith determines how we will live and the choices we will make. So what faith I have, not the faith that I say I have, but the faith that I truly have, determines how then I'm going to live my life. It's going to determine the decisions I make, the words I use, the places I go, the friends I hang out, the thoughts I have. It's going to determine all that. I don't have to say, oh yeah, I've got faith. I'm not supposed to do that. If you have to do that, something's wrong already. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that because I'm a Christian. See the problem with that a little bit? If I believe something, it actually begins to change me. It's manifested in that way. James said this, and we looked at this last week, but so I'm just going to mention it. James said, I will show you my faith by my works. Right? He didn't say, I'm going to get faith by my works. He said, I will show you my faith by my works. I'll demonstrate it to you. I'll let you see that. So in other words, my faith will be demonstrated in how I live it out. Not just by what I say. Well, it was now time for the disciples to live it out on their own. Jesus Christ sent them away from Him. Okay, and I want you to get that concept that He was sending them. In verse 2 it says, and He sent them to preach. So what the Lord wasn't going with them anymore, it wasn't anymore babysitting. And I don't know if that's really the right term. It's not any more of Him being with them. He said, now I want you to go away and do it. Okay? I want you to go away from me to do this thing. And so what he's getting at here, because watch this, folks. It's easy to talk about faith among a church full of people that believe in faith. Now notice, I didn't say a church full of people that have faith. I said a church full of people that believe in faith. We can sit here and compare our faith. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, God is good. God is good all the time. All the time God's good. And we can talk about all the things. And He's our anchor, right? He is the rock, man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is so good. That's pretty much good church talk. We sing about that stuff. We talk about that. God's good. Oh, God is good to me. And then we'll have I'm going to dig a little bit. Then we'll have maybe a Sunday school teacher, either one of the Sunday school teachers say, hey, does anybody have a time to share about how God worked faith in their life? You're like, well, that's different. It is different. I'm just kind of digging a little bit. But the point is this, faith happens with this kind of thing it's easy to talk about that among other people that are talking about that. It's another thing, by the way, not just for us, for everybody. That's a difficult thing. This isn't like, well, no, we're all like that. We're all made of the same flesh. It's another thing altogether to talk about faith away from the Master, away from the body of believers. You know, we we've heard about, I mean, this morning even in Sunday school, we talk about there's persecution when, you know, when we try to live for Christ. When we begin to talk about, by the way, it's not just for at work. It's sometimes it's among our family, sometimes among our friends. It could be like, yeah, I do this for Jesus. You know, I do this, and I'm gonna, you know, you go to church. How many times a week you go to church? It could be. I can remember when first I thought of it, when I got saved. This is what they did, and so I thought, okay, this is what we do now. I'm saved. This is what we do. And there was other people I didn't know, other people that were Christians that said, well, you do what? And I thought, I didn't even know it was weird. Because Christianity was new to me. I thought all Christians do. And when I would get kind of mocked by other Christians, and I thought, well, man, this is, I thought this was normal. You know, and so we could get it from other believers. We could get it from other people. We could get it from jobs. We could get it from family. And we could get this persecution from all over. It's a lot easier standing next to Jesus than all the Christian people. Right? Much easier in that kind of environment. But the Lord wanted the disciples to go forth. Watch what I'm going to say here to you. In a way that would cause them to have to be in a situation that would require them to live by their faith. You know, but can I say this? Here, this isn't the place where we have to live by our faith. I mean, we're all in this thing. That's why we're here Sunday morning. Rarely does somebody on Sunday morning say, yeah, I think you people are stupid for coming here. But that doesn't happen on Sunday morning. Now, I don't even know if I believe God. I think believing in God is for idiots. I mean, have you heard that before? You know, that's what weak people do that have nothing. You know, I've heard that. We don't hear that in here. We don't have that kind of thing normally. Sometimes. Sometimes Brother Jonathan will say stuff like that. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, what I'm saying is this. My point is I'm trying to make is here. It's the thing. So the Lord wanted them to be sent out in a way that they had to live by that faith. Look at verse 3 again. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. And then he gives some specifics in case you don't understand what nothing is. Neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Wow. He said this, you're not going to go on this journey well prepared. Right? Now, sometimes, the Lord, other times, He says, we prepare for the battle, we prepare for building, we prepare. But here He says, this is something. He said, no, you're not going to go out there. He said, no, sir. This is not going to be a ministry. This was going to be a ministry that would build faith. It wasn't a confidence building. This wasn't a confidence building exercise or a boosting measure or some exercise that says, man, I can do this. But listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. This wasn't something that they were going to say, you know, I can really do this. No, what they were trying to, it was an exercise for them to learn to trust the Lord. Don't take nothing with you. I want you to put your reliance on what you said you believe. Their faith was not going to be in their own skill set or their own abilities. How often is it that we're really trusting in ourselves? You know, I think at times we don't even realize, and I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I think oftentimes we don't even realize how much we're trusting on ourselves and really not relying on the Lord. So look at verse 4 now. And he said, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And verse 4. Now, their care, here's what he's saying. Their care was to be received. They were to receive their care by whosoever's house they went into. So he said, you're not going to go from house to house. It's going to be you're going to go into one place, and you're going to go in, and then you're going to trust them to take care of you, whatever they have. Let me tell you about this situation. As missionaries, we would travel, is sometimes we'd stay in people's homes. Some of those homes were awesome. Awesome. They had a really nice place. Wonderful. But other places, we went into places that were filthy. I asked the people, we went into one house, and I had just two girls with me. And I went, Dee was one, and Kara, I brought those two with me. We flew somewhere, and the other girl said that. So I said, we're going to go. And so I went out, and we went into this place. We stayed at this home. And the girls were intended to sleep on the floor with blankets, which is okay. That's okay. They're kids. You know, they're little. And so that's fine. But this floor was matted with dog hair and with just dirty. And I said, and this is such a difficult thing. I said, could I, I asked them, we're getting ready for bed. I said, do you have a vacuum I can use? I want to. They said, oh, no, it should be clean. I said, yeah, I just don't want to get your blankets dirty. I don't want to offend people. And they said, well, yeah. They didn't know where it was right away. I could tell. And so we went in there, found that the vacuum, I could tell it was dust covered, and they hadn't used it in a long time. So I got it in there. And you know when you say you spilt rice on the ground, on the floor, and you vacuumed it up and the noise it would make? That's the noise it made. It wasn't rice. It was, I don't know what it was. And I thought, man, this was like a full bed. Maybe that's what it was. We slept in our clothes on top of the blankets, and I had both the girls. I laid down, and they both laid them. And I'm like, Lord, help us. I've been in other homes where you go in there, it is just nice, and there's a spread. I mean, it's just wonderful, and you're like, can I live here forever? Do you know what I mean? So I've been on both ends of that. The Lord said this. He said, wherever you go in, that's where you're going to be. That's where you're going to be, whatever it is. You know, and I don't want to spend, there's so many things here, but there's so much to unwrap, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But can I say, God sometimes puts us in those situations. I'd like a better situation than the situation I'm in. God said, you know, sometimes you're going to be in a better situation and you're going to love life and it's going to be wonderful. And then other times you're going to be in another situation that you got to be somewhere else for another reason. And wherever you're at, just be there. Just be there and trust me in that thing. And so their care was to be received by who was ever there. I'd rather go stay with the people that are eating steaks than the people that are eating Spam. Amen? And so look at verse 5. He said, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Okay, so he says this. If they will not meet your need nor receive your message, move on. So he says, move on from them. So, like I said, there's so much to unpack here in these verses, but I want us to just look at a couple things because we're going to move on. But two things I want to say. He says this. He said, take nothing for your journey. This was intended to be a ministry that was, watch this, it was meant to get started right away. Okay? It wasn't meant to spend time preparing, worrying, getting loaded, getting packed for. Let's get all this together. No, no, no. It wasn't going to be a long journey. It wasn't going to be a long journey either. There was a lesson. Watch this. There's a lesson to be learned and a people to be reached. Two things. A lesson to be learned and a people to be reached. And he said, we're not going to get all that stuff. Just go. Just go. Don't take all that stuff. It wasn't going to be. Sometimes we spend so much time in preparation, we never actually get around to doing the ministry the Lord prepared for us. Again, I want to talk about this. When I would travel church to church and I would come in and I'd come and talk to somebody and they'd say, yeah, God's called me to missions too. God's called me. And I said, really? Yeah. I said, so, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm just working a job and just, you know, working in the church until the Lord, you know, calls me. I saw that you said the Lord, I didn't always say this to him. Sometimes I would. The longer I went through that, because I got this a lot, the longer I got a little more emboldened. I'm like, so I thought you said the Lord called you. Yeah, but he just not really showed me what to do yet. I said, so what are you doing to prepare? Oh, I'm just, you know, just here. You know, I come to church. And I thought, I walked away and I just thought, man, I don't understand. I don't know what to say to that. Sometimes we just need to get right to what God has asked us to do. Now, don't misunderstand. The key word is sometimes. Okay, there's other times that we need to do a little preparation, some things like that. But sometimes we need to just get to what God is. Listen, this wasn't about being prepared for what may come or what may happen. It was about simply going and trusting the Lord for the provisions. That's one thing. First thing. Second thing, he said this. Shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. So this was a cultural thing. This was, you know, it's, we don't, you know, if we walked out of somebody's house, they'd be like, what a weirdo. I mean, that's what you're thinking right now. You know, they're like, so for us, it's weird. But it was a cultural thing that it actually separated themselves from the people. They you know, they didn't have texting and emojis there. You know, it wasn't like, a mad face, wink or whatever. I don't know. I don't even know how emojis work. You look at these. What do they mean? Anyway, different story. So for them, when they would shake the dust, it was their way of separating themselves from the very ground of the people. Like, I'm separating myself from you. There's a lot of cultural things. Sometimes you'd take a shoe and, you know, you'd give a shoe when you made an agreement. There's a lot of weird things there. It's just cultural. We have a lot of weird things here. But it was symbolic. It was a testimony of the decision that that person had made to not receive them. Ultimately, what it indicated was that those that reject the message are not rejecting the messenger, they're rejecting the Lord. It was to say this, there will be people that will not accept the message. Do not let them defeat you, but walk away. But not just away, though, but on to others. So listen, here is the part that they needed to learn. Everybody's not going to accept the message of Jesus Christ. They're just not. Few there be that find it, right? Most will not receive the message. So you're going to go to somebody, you're going to give them the message, right? You're going to share Christ, and they're not going to receive it. He said, listen, shake your dust and move on. What you're going to do is you're going to move on. If we get defeated back here, we're going to be done. If you've ever tried to share the gospel with somebody and they reject it, it can be painful, especially if you're pretty new at it. It can be painful. It's like, they don't like me, they don't want me, and it's me, you know, and maybe I didn't do it right, maybe I this and that, and the other thing, we can go all this whole list of things. And it can be defeating. You ever been defeated by Christian people? The world certainly does, and we can be defeated. And the Lord's saying this, shake the dust. Listen, separate yourself from that thing because there's more people. We got to move on from that. And this is what he's trying to get across to them in this concept here, in this place. He says, So they put feet to their profession of faith. Look at verse 6 now. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So here's what happened. They got, not only were they preaching the gospel, but they got to heal. Jesus Christ gave them the power, and they got to see the power of Christ through their own hands. I'm telling you, folks, it's amazing. You ever healed somebody by laying hands on them? No. If you think you did, yeah, I just laid hands. No. Power was from Christ. But you know what we do have the power to? Share the gospel and see somebody's life changed. Salvation come to them. Is there anything more miraculous than that, than seeing someone born again? By me sharing the gospel message and people turn from their sin and from idols unto the living and true God. God used me to do that. Woo! There's nothing, I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting in this world than that. Nothing. Nothing in this world more exciting than seeing a sinner come to Christ and God using you to be a part of that. It's It's one of those things that you're like, you walk away from that, you're like, you try to be cool, like, yeah, this was supposed to happen. You know, that was me. That's like, yeah, you're supposed to be, you know, it's just, yeah. That's, but inside, I'm just like, I'm about to jump out. If I could jump out of my skin, there'd be an out-of-body experience. You can't do that, but one day we will. But I'm going to tell you what, it's so exciting. And this is what Jesus sent them out to do. He said, I want you to see what this looks like. He said, yeah, but Lord, we're going to need two staffs. What if one breaks? He said, just don't worry about that. But it's going to get cold. I need two coats. Don't worry about that. He said, well, I'm going to need some money. Don't worry about those, some provisions. No. Lord said, just go to do this thing. Not in your ability, but in mine. So they got to see the power of Christ through their own hands, but so did the whole region. Look at verse 7. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed. Because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded? Who is this of whom I have heard such things? And he desired to see them. Now, this is how living for Christ goes. The more effective we become and living for the Lord, the more the enemy will notice. So, he's preaching. I'm sorry, they're out there preaching, and Herod finds out and hears about this. It's obviously getting spread out. Just these 12 guys went out, and it became known all the way up to the king. Wow. Okay, did you get what I said? In this region, 12 guys spread out to preach the gospel and start healing people, and it got all the way up to the top in that region. And so here it is, this is going on, and can you say that he said, Herod found out about these, so wait a minute, this is like John, but this is somebody doing what John did, or you know, Elijah or somebody, he said, but John, I already cut off his head, who's this guy? How would you like to be acquainted or put in the category with a guy that got his head chopped off for doing what he was doing, and now you're doing what he was doing. He got his head chopped off. So when the enemy is unaware of you, when there isn't any resistance to your efforts to live for Christ, to do the will of God, then what that should reveal to us is that we're not living for Him. But rather what we have done is we've returned to living without faith. So Herod's now aware of them. Now the gospel message was noticed not only to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and so forth, and scribes and the chief priests, but also to the national leadership. Herod, the king, a ruler of the land, he wanted to see Jesus. Probably just to congratulate him. Right? Doing a great work among our people. That's probably what he wanted, right? No. Have you ever done something for the Lord? Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. You ever done something for the Lord only to have some fallout and wonder if you'd have been better off not doing it for the Lord? No. You do something for the Lord because you know this is what the Lord wants to be done. And after you did that, what happened, all the fallout that came, makes life so challenging and difficult, and maybe difficult for yourself, maybe difficult for others, that you say, man, it would have been better off that I didn't do it. You ever thought, done something like that? Sure. Sure, we all have if we've done something for the Lord. Just, I'm sure if you've done much for the Lord, you get to a time, it's like, man, this, I don't know that this really helped us. Maybe it would have been better if I would have just kept my mouth shut or so forth. Listen, the apostles did this too. But then the short journey was over. Look at verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So, number two is this. Come apart for a while. Okay? So, Jesus took his apostles apart from the people on purpose. Okay? It was a time, watch this, it was a time to equip them. Okay? So here's what it was. Listen, folks, church is primarily about equipping us. Wait for it. Not done. Church is primarily about equipping us for the work of the ministry. Jesus would take them apart, teach them some things, then they would take it out into the world and use it for the work of the ministry. Same thing he says later on to the New Testament. He's given pastors and the church and so forth for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Same thing Jesus did. What Jesus did, he told us later to continue doing. Amen? Well, I don't think I need church. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, I just worship God in nature. Well, how do you get equipped in nature? Well, I learn how to hunt and fish and... Okay. I think that's good because I like to eat. Right? Learn how to pick fruit out of nature. I learn how... Mostly, though, I learn how to enjoy the lake. That'll help you for Jesus. Right? So, here's what I'm saying. The Lord's plan was equip the saints for the work. It's what he did with the apostles. And then, so he equipped them, and then he put them out there so they can go use it. Listen, these times apart were for preparation. Our time apart from the world also is for preparation. But the work of the ministry is always the goal. Right? It's always the goal. It's not just we could get better and better and better, we could get super awesome Christian level. No, it's where we can be equipped for the work. Now, look here in verse 11 now. And the people, when they knew that he was apart for a while, they followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go unto the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. So it's always interesting to see the disciples try to help Jesus by telling him what he already knows. So remember just the other day, while Jesus was trying to get a little sleep on a boat. Remember that? He's just trying to get a little sleep. He had a long day. He wanted to get a little sleep on the boat. And they came and told him about a storm that was whipping up the waves and that it was going to kill him. Jesus is sleeping. They can wake. Lord, we're going to die. We're going to perish is the word they use. We're about to perish. Can I say this, folks? The Lord knows what's going on. He knows what's going on. And he is actually the one that has the remedy. Right? He doesn't need you to give him the remedy. Listen, Lord, here's how we fix this problem. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I'm kind of like the Lord's counselor. I just tell God, here's really the best way this would work. Now, if I said that to you, being serious, you're like, something's wrong with this preacher, right? Say, something's wrong with this guy. Yet, we live that way sometimes, don't we? God, now, I think it's okay to ask God for what we desire. God sometimes gives us the desires of our heart. That's okay. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we want things to work out. It's kind of what we talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning. So, you know, Moses, there was a plan of what you maybe think would happen, but it happens way different than what we do. Right? And so what happens here is the apostles come, the disciples come and tell the Lord about, hey, you know, it's just getting late. The Lord's like, oh, I lost track of time. The one that controls time. If he wanted to say, sun, back up a little bit, it's his. right? And they said, we're running out of time. Look at verse 13. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. So, this is the way of man, okay? This is the way of man. Even those that had first-handedly, you say, is that a word? It is now. They had first-handedly experienced the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made excuses of why they couldn't do what the Lord asked them to do. I mean, I hate to keep, no, I don't hate to keep it. I said the Lord works this thing. You got the Sunday school lesson this morning was, we were talking about how when God had made a way to cause all of these plagues upon the Egyptian people, while in the city where the Jews were at, nothing. Flies, lice, you know, frogs, all that's over there, and they're chilling over here, nothing. You know, the crops, the animals, all these things, the plague, all over here, they're nothing. And then finally, Pharaoh says, get up out of here, go. And he sends them out, and they go, and like, yeah. And the people gave them, broke their earrings off. Gave them their things. They leave with, like, goods. They leave with some of the wealth of Egypt. Wow. Can you imagine being that people, like, is this happening? I mean, we've been slaves, like, for generations. Grandpappy was a slave, right? And so here we are. Is this happening? Like, they're like, we got out of here quick. They didn't even have, you know, that's where we get the unleavened bread. They didn't have time to leaven the bread. They're just like, we're going. And we're going, and here's the steps going. We got all this. We're like, wow, this is amazing. And then they get to the sea, and they're dead end. And they're coming. It's like, oh, you brought us out here to die in the desert. Huh. What's wrong with us? I'd like to say what's wrong with them, but what's wrong with us? It's kind of the way of man, isn't it? So stubborn. And then finally, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I don't know if y'all heard about this thing or not, but God made the sea, no, for real, open up. I mean, can you imagine at the bottom of a river or a sea, this kind of how mushy and gross and sloshy that would be? No, they went across on dry ground. Walked across. Get to the other side, singing a song, God, I mean, just like the last Israelite steps out and God just shuts it on these people and they're like, wow, this is awesome. Singing, Moses has a song of praise. It's a whole chapter of his song of singing. They're going out, they get a little further out, they're like, what about food? I'm hungry. Did you bring us out here in the desert to die? Remember those leeks and garlics back there? That was awesome back there in the world. Back in when we were slaves. You're like, you read that and you're like, what is wrong with people? You know what I'm saying? And then we look in that mirror. You ever look in that mirror and say, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? Because we're cut of that same flesh. We're cut of that same thing. They made excuses why they couldn't do what the Lord asked them to do. I mean, now, listen, if there was ever a good excuse, this one was it. This one would sure do pretty well. He said, we have limited supplies. I mean, limited supplies, we got one lunch. Okay? We got limited ability. Limited time before the sun goes down. I mean, there's all the things that would limit us. But here's the thing. It was what we have. It was all about their own ability. When the Lord tells us to do something, I want you to catch this, folks. When the Lord tells us to do something, it's never a question of if it can be done. But listen, when the Lord tells you to do something, it's not if it can be done. If He told you to do it, it's for you to do. Well, I have... No. Listen, God doesn't tell us to do what we can't do. Amen? Y'all with me? God doesn't tell us to do what we cannot do. So it's never a question of if it can be done. If He instructed it, it can be done. The question is whether we have the faith to trust Him with our whole life. This is what it's talking about. Listen, what the disciples needed was another lesson on trusting the Lord. That's what they needed right here. They needed another lesson on trusting the Lord. Have you ever felt like yourself? You ever felt like, you know, I could use another lesson on trusting the Lord? A lot of times, the problem is, folks, you know, a lot of times like, no, I'm pretty good on that. I mean, to be fair. Well, you need, you know, if somebody came and said, you know, you just need another lesson on trusting Jesus. You're like, well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Right? I think that's probably where the average folks that are going to be in church are going to say. Look at verse 14. By the way, I think that's probably what the apostles would have said too. Look at verse 14. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. How much do you trust the Lord? How much do you trust the Lord? Can you trust Him with what you do not yet have? Can you trust Him to do what you would say and what you kind of realize and what you maybe even know that you cannot do? The Lord just demonstrated to the disciples out there in that desert place that He is the answer. No. Folks, listen to what I'm saying to you. If He did it out there, He can do it right here. The answer isn't what I have in my pocket or in my hands. The answer isn't me at all. This is the lesson of faith that He was trying to teach them. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. And so, listen, it didn't make sense. There was no way it was going to work. A little boy's lunch, going to feed all these people. They didn't prepare for this. Maybe they thought another place, they said, oh, we forgot to bring bread. The Lord's saying we should have been bread. You know, they're thinking we didn't prepare. Shouldn't they have just went back to what they just did? They didn't have the means nor the resources available, but the Lord said, do it. Do it. There's things that we might relate this to in our own life. You know, one of the there's two commodities that we have that in our society today that are limited and will often become excuses of why we can't do what God wants us to do. One of those things is time. I don't have the time. I was sitting at the doctor's office at the VA. And if you've never been to the VA, which probably most of you haven't, it's mostly old men. Right? I mean, I'm a young guy there at the VA. And there's some others now coming out after me. I've been out, man, almost 30 years now. Anyway. Seems like it was yesterday. I'm sitting there, a bunch of old men, there's a couple ladies there, and they're all sitting there. Zombie. You know what I was about to do? I sat down. When I sat down, I pulled my phone out of my pocket, because you know what I was going to do? I was going to zombie up too. I mean, I had some things that was important to look up. Not really. And I sat there looking, I thought, and they're just... And I'm like, man, this is a weird society we live in. You know what I mean? It just kind of creeped me out a little bit. I just sat there. And this isn't like, you know, when I was a kid, I played video games and did that stuff, you know. But when I grew up, when I became a man, I put away childish things, you know, except for now I do still some of those. Anyway, that's a different story. And so I'm sitting there looking at this. I'm like, man, what has become? And yet we are in the generation that would say, I don't have time. I don't know if you have one of these indicators on your phone that comes. I have this thing. I think it's like a weekly thing. It comes up and says, you've used your phone this more or this less than last week. Sometimes you read that and you go, I don't want to see that. You know, wow. And we're a generation that says, I don't have time. Can I say this about time? We choose to, by the way, I'm in the pot with you. I'm not saying them, I'm saying we. We're in the pot that we're like, I don't have time, but the fact is we made a choice of what we're going to do with our time. The second commodity that we talk about is money. I don't have the money for that. Or I need to earn more money so that I can, you know, or I can't do this because I need more, you know, these kind of things. And we are living in the wealthiest world, nation in the world. As I mentioned, our poor in America is considered rich around the world. Our poor, and I'm just saying, I'm not trying to insult anybody, I'm just saying, I remember I would watch these, there used to be these billboards, 1 in 5 children go hungry in America. I haven't met that one. I haven't. Maybe you know some. I'm saying, in America, we got food banks, we got food stamps, we got welfare, we got all these kind of things that I seen this video one time. There's this canvas video, and they were talking about this food bank. And they're just going and they're talking about. I'm not. Again, folks, don't misunderstand. I'm just trying to explain the people that are on. They're obese people on there, at the food bank, talking about how they need the greatest disease. I think it's either number one or number two disease in America is obesity. My point in saying that is we're talking about. We need more, but we're the country of abundance. And it's not an insult to, I mean, fat people like me. I'm just saying here's what we are, right? And if we're like this, and you could see where the apostles were looking at this thing, listen, I'm telling you, if there was anybody that God said, I want you to do with what very little you have, and I want you to do what I want you to do, and they said, well, we can't, because how are we going to do this? And God said, because I want you to do it. Lord said to do it. So they begin to pass out the food. I mean, it's a different thing when Jesus right there, I said, do it, boy. I don't know. I don't think he said boy, but I think he said, do it. And they're like, what do we do? I can you imagine Peter looking at, you know, because Peter's like, what do we do? He looked at John. What do we do? He said, John. I met John, looked back. I said, do it. Jesus said, do it. I imagine that, right? So he said, okay. You ever done something you didn't think it was going to work, but you did it out of obedience anyway? Whether it's in work or whatever it is, you do this. So here they are. They begin to pass out the food, group by group, and it never ran out. Can you see, you know, going up there, they got this basket. You know, I think they started probably with baskets, and the Lord gives it, and they go and get this basket, and they're like, man, this kind of looks like more. The fishes and the bird. Okay, whatever. So you go giving like, okay, this ain't going to feed 50. You're like, we're done. And you see the other apostles back and forth. They come back and they got another basket. You switch out and you're like, Then you do it again. And you know what you find? This gets exciting. You know what we find? I can do what God asked me to do without it making sense. Yeah. No. Folks, I'm not saying we're just going to bless God. I'm just going to do whatever. I don't care. No, there's some anxiety. There's some things. But God said, do this. We begin to do it, and we find out that it works. Find out what God said to do. He said to do it. So how does that work? It's supernatural. Do we believe in supernatural things? Do we believe God has the power to do that? Well, we can't do ourselves. I mean, we're here for that this morning. So we begin to do this, and they're going back and forth. And I imagine as it increased, they're still kind of like, this is insane. They're doing it. Passed them back and forth. And so they passed out and never ran out. Everybody ate. Everybody's sitting there full, so full. By the way, this wasn't a time and place of history that people were usually ate to their content, I mean to their fullness. But they ate more than they had more than they could eat. So there was leftovers, right? And there was pieces left over to be gathered up. And as it happened, there was as many baskets as remained as were disciples that passed them out. I don't. You said, well, maybe that was coincidence. Probably just coincidence. But I imagine after this is over, this picture in my mind, I don't know. The 12 are just kind of lined up here, and they're all holding their basket. just gobsmacked. You know what I mean? Probably in that basket of fragments of leftovers was probably more than the first basket, maybe that what they started with. And they all have this. Here's a conclusion this morning. What do you think? Is it time for the Lord to give you another lesson on trusting Him? I mean, listen, folks, it wasn't that the disciples had no faith. Listen to what I'm saying to you, folks. It wasn't that they had no faith. They had already left everything to follow Jesus Christ. We're not talking about people that were faithless. But we can have the same challenge they did, which is a tendency to return to living without faith that causes us to trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Remember when you got saved? And you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You took a level of faith, but over time, we can wander from that faith. Maybe today, what we need to realize is that you are standing there with a basket full of what God has already given you. Why are you sitting there with the basket full of what God has already given you? You're wondering if God can do the next thing. Can God provide for me? And you know what we do sometimes? We look right over what God's already done. And we're looking beyond it. God, I'm just not sure. I don't think we can do this. And, you know, spiritually speaking, can you imagine God saying, can you just look at what already is in your hands? Maybe we just need a lesson to go back to that. Maybe today, we just need to each ask the Lord this request. Lord, would you increase my faith? Let's all stand together.